Welcome back to another episode of Orcasa Earth Podcast, season number 2. We're very excited to share today's topic with you. It is a bit more profound, touching a few dark corners of our spirits, but also a lot of healing. Today we're going to talk about depression and mental health.
We had in our notes that we were very happy to do this episode, but the reality is that no one is always happy. Sometimes we have hard moments, and sometimes these moments turn into depressions. So we want to share our experience battling these dark moments. Just so you know, everyone at some point in their lives get depressed. Nowadays, it's a condition that affects millions of people around the world. We were doing some research, and according to the WHO, the World Health Organization,
5% of adults in the world suffer from depressive disorders. We're talking about more than 350 million people.
Look, depression can be a debilitating condition to have. It changes our moods, our thoughts, our behavior. And what's truly important is to understand the causes and also look for treatments that may help you see a brighter side of life. In our case, it was a series of holistic practices and different tools that we've come across during our journey. Depression can have a variety of causes. You know, something like a traumatic event can trigger it. I know for a fact that growing up in Colombia during the 90s, a time where violence was prevalent in different parts of the country, left a lot of PTSD that I'm still trying to analyze, digest, and turn into a new way of approaching situations that in the past would have brought a lot of anxiety or paranoia or discomfort. Losing a loved one or breaking up a relationship can also present this lack of balance in our lives, emotionally speaking, which can then result in, you know, these feelings of heaviness. My mother passed a few months ago, and I know for a fact that it's a situation that I'm still analyzing and learning to turn around so I can continue it at least a good baseline level of emotions and feelings. These drastic changes in what we think is a very planned, controlled life can, of course, shake our ground and make us feel very unstable. Sometimes a genetic or medical condition can also trigger bouts of depression. And even certain medications can make us feel more gloomy and drain our energy. That said, if prescriptions are for you and feel that they're working, go ahead. Just make sure that you understand what you're getting into. I'll share more about it, because the day I decided not to take the antidepressants was the day that I actually went to a doctor to get them.
When it comes to women, another thing that can affect our emotional well-being is a hormonal imbalance. I mentioned this recently on my platforms because doctors discovered that I have a uterine thyroid myoma, which is a benign tumor, but it affects your overall well-being and leaves you with so little physical and emotional energy that you can barely get out of bed on some days. And this starts affecting your mental health. And for the past year that I've been struggling to find this mental balance, I just want to be in touch with my thoughts and make sure that everything in my mind feels at peace or at least controlled. And that hasn't been the case in the past year. And I couldn't understand why, what was happening. And now I finally have an answer. And it was all because of this uterine myoma, which I'm working on holistically to see if I can balance my hormones enough for the myoma to start disappearing. But that's going to be another entire episode focused on this for all women that have questions on uterine fibroids or myoma. But for today, I want you to understand that in case what you're experiencing is related to a hormonal imbalance too.
It's interesting that you mentioned that because perhaps hormones affected me during my first depression. I know when it happened, it was shortly after I got divorced from my first wife and I was living in Miami and I had quit my job and, you know, things were going a little south. And that's when I went to the doctor, a doctor who I thought was a shrink, to have a conversation and start therapy and see where that could lead me. When I went to the doctor's office, I realized that they were a GP and not an actual psychologist, but they wanted me to tell them what was going on. And when I did share, they prescribed Wellbutrin, which is one of the main antidepressants that are being prescribed these days. I went to the pharmacy, I got my bottle, and when I headed home, I started reading all the different side effects and the instructions and the dosage in the leaflet. And very quickly, I understood that it was something I didn't want to do. Yes, I wanted to treat my depression, but I didn't want to depend on pills to be happy. So at that point, I decided to leave it all behind. I booked myself a yoga retreat in Bali. I took my yoga teacher training, got my certificate, and then traveled around Southeast Asia for 6 months, backpacking and connecting with myself, with my thoughts, did a lot of journaling, a lot of reading. And that's when I started realizing that in my case, holistic practices and tools we're going to be effective in battling this condition.
Before I share my experience, the first depression that I had was around 7-8 years ago. But before I share that, I want to talk about the difference between sadness and depression, which is something that we get confused many times. Sadness, or a moment where you are sad, is very normal. We're humans, we're emotional. If you're an empath, even more so, like we are over here, we feel a lot. And you're gonna have those days where you wanna stay home and analyze your life and analyze people's actions or what's happening around you, or probably the current situation of the environment and our world or whatever is going on in your mind. Having those moments, which usually last for a few hours, is okay. That's part of being human. But whenever you have an extended period of that sadness, we're talking about weeks or months or even years of you feeling energetically and emotionally drained, that's called depression. And depression affects not only your mind, but it also affects your work because you don't have the energy to work anymore. It affects the way you see life. It affects the way you connect with other human beings, with your loved ones. In my experience, it felt like a cloud, this very dark cloud that was on top of me 24/7. And I just couldn't find a way out of it. And I couldn't find the willingness or the power to start seeing life with a more colorful filter. I felt everything was gray around me, and I couldn't smile. I didn't have the energy to laugh. I didn't find anything beautiful or funny, or I don't know, just overall entertaining. And that's when I started realizing that something was wrong. And that's going to lead me now to share my experience with you. So this happened around 7-8 years ago. And I was still working in banking. I was a private banker. And right there, I understood the connection between depression and the disconnection with your passions. If you're not paying attention to your inner voice, to your spirits, to whatever your soul is trying to tell you, you might enter into this void, into this very dark hole, and a dark hole that has many layers, and you just keep falling down and you don't understand what this emptiness you're feeling is related to. And that happened to me. So I was a banker. I had pursued that career for 5 years. And in my fifth year, I didn't have the energy to get out of bed anymore. I cried every single lunch break. I hated Mondays because I just didn't want to go to work. And then when I got really, really bad is when I started realizing that I was having these thoughts where I no longer existed. So I started thinking, what would happen if I don't want to live anymore? What would happen if I jump out of the window? What would happen if I just end this pain and this emptiness that I feel? Like, would my family miss me? Would I just disappear into a void? Like, what exactly is happening and how can I solve this? And when I went into that very dark moment and into that darkness in my mind is when I realized that I needed to ask for help. Unfortunately, 7 years ago, these conversations were not as normal as they are today. I think today we have many more resources. There's lots of platforms. There's more influencers talking about this. There's more family members talking about this. But 7 years ago, when I tried to reach out to my loved ones, I didn't receive the support that I was looking for. Actually, I was told that I should man up and that everyone goes through these depressive moments and that it's normal and that I should just go back to work and keep making money and keep focusing on growing my career. And right there, when I was told over and over again that what I was feeling was normal, I realized that it wasn't, because I couldn't visualize or believe in a world where humans felt this empty and that we could call that normal. And that's when I started working on myself. I realized that I was alone, that no one was going to come and save me, and that I needed to become my own hero, and I needed to find a way out of that darkness. So my first action was to quit the job that I felt that was leaving me, that was consuming my spirit. And I did, without a plan B. I just realized that I needed to leave that industry behind so I could start focusing on myself. And I did. And after that, it was a daily reminder of conversations between myself and I. It was just words that I was repeating to myself every day to encourage myself to stand up, to get out of bed, to start creating, to connect with that passion that I have in me, to find out, to discover what I was made of and what I had to offer to the world, and also to finally connect with my purpose. I think finding your purpose in life brings a lot of peace to your spirit, because again, you're connecting with that creative energy and that creative force, and that's going to be your fuel for everything. So for me, it started like that. Getting out of depression was a combination of taking the risk of leaving my job behind to then ritualizing life, seeing every day as an opportunity to be more present, whether it's making my cacao in the morning, making that a ritual, or creating an altar where I connect with a higher power, whether you call it God, Buddha, Ganesh. For me, it was a combination of everything, but above all, Mother Nature and this cosmic force, and an altar where I could offer my intention every single day and use that as the energy for my week and my way of living. And that began bringing a lot of peace into my mind. And that was my way out of my first depression.
There are more depressions, and they will pop up throughout our lives, sometimes unexpectedly. In my case, my mother passed, and that, of course, led to unearthing something that I thought that was already covered. And when you truly understand what you're dealing with, you realize that depression is a symptom, or at least that's how I see it. Each situation has its own cause. When my mama left for a different multiverse or whatever is awaiting on the other side, I felt abandonment, which is something that I had carried or have carried with me throughout life because of many different situations where this feeling has risen. That is very important, to find the source of your depression. And the best way to pinpoint what it is that is bothering you is by making several changes. During my trip to Bali, I also decided to stop eating meat. It was something that became part of the different tests towards adjusting my way of living into a more peaceful, a more connected one. These animals that end up on our plates suffered, they were slaughtered in violent ways, and they carry this very heavy energy that I didn't want to consume and have in my body. So definitely I recommend making those changes as soon as possible, whether it is, you know, quitting meat or quitting alcohol. Alcohol is a depressant that, you know, anyone who has been on a night out binge drinking can attest to. But there's nothing worse than dealing with a hangover, except a moral hangover that, if left untreated, will end up becoming a more complicated problem. We apply different breathing, meditation tools, yoga, exercise. These days I've been hitting the monkey bars in the park and, you know, doing some calisthenics, which is very important to help create endorphins, which are going to make us feel better on a molecular hormonal level. It will help us sleep better, and it will allow our bodies to recover and build a stronger immune system. In the case of Valeria, yoga is the favorite exercise. I also apply it every now and then, but at this particular point in my life, I feel I need a little extra juice extraction, if you know what I mean. Just going all out. And that's why a lot of people find solace in running marathons or skydiving or, you know, things that really shake them up emotionally to be able to come back to this baseline where we should always try to be. Not overly excited and anxious all the time, and not deeply down and buried under our depression, but somewhere in between. I think that's a process for each and every one of us, and depends a lot on the situation you're in, the possibilities you have, the different practices you can afford, but always considering that your body is your main vehicle, and that this is a situation that, although it requires having a solid social base, it's something that has to be approached on your own. It's a conversation that we must have by looking in the mirror, completely naked and emotional, in the most emotional sense, and being honest towards ourselves.
Something else that helps me a lot, and I've been applying it plenty in the past few days since I was diagnosed with this uterine myoma, is breath work and waking up early. I try to wake up at least an hour earlier from my previous schedule. So that means that I have 30 minutes to an hour just for myself. And I think that's crucial. Whenever I talk about practicing meditation or yoga in the morning, I get a lot of comments on social media from people saying, who has time for that? Like, I mean, you probably do work, and we do work a lot. But I just create that space for myself. And I think it's so crucial for mental and spiritual health to have those moments of solitude and of silence. And by waking up, right now we're trying to wake up at 6:30 in the morning. So that means that I get to make my cacao in the morning, and then I immediately go to meditate outside in the garden. And I practice yoga. Sometimes I meditate for 30 minutes or an hour, depending on my mood and the day and my schedule. Other times I just choose a very short meditation and then my yoga practice. So I play around up, but I give myself like an hour and a half for this moment. And by choosing to do it in the mornings when everyone is still asleep, the energy is different. I mean, there's no negative energy in the world. You get to connect more with nature because humans are still asleep. We're talking about, my goal is 5:30 in the morning, so I hope I get there soon. But that is something that has been helping me for years now, especially now in this moment where I'm trying to heal my body, not only my mind, but my body in the most holistic way possible before I choose surgery or anything related to orthodox medicine. I'm trying natural and holistic medicine first. Other things that I would recommend is ritualizing life. Any little moment that you can be present from writing to singing to taking dance classes to even your coffee or hopefully your cacao. And Santiago is going to explain why coffee is something that becomes very addictive. And if you remove it from your diet, you may be able to connect more with your overall well-being. But that's something that I did. I went from coffee to cacao. And just that moment in the morning, making my own cacao from scratch, adding medicinal mushrooms and making my vegan milk, all that is a ritual in itself. And that helps me be present from the moment I wake up. And it helps me connect with this emotion of loving myself and not only giving love to the world, but giving that same energy to myself. And it feels beautiful. And then you get to start your entire day with another mentality and with another frequency. And then our most powerful tool that we already have, you don't need to buy it or invest in it. Well, energy. Yeah, energetically, you need to invest in it, but you don't have to spend a dime in it, is breath work. Your own breath. If you start connecting with your breathing, you'll understand the healing effect of it. Breath, and I mean every human being breathes every second. But the thing is that we're not aware of it. We're doing it very unconsciously. Some people take very short breaths and don't realize the power hidden behind very profound and deep inhales and exhales. And that has been helping me a lot with my emotions. Anytime you feel frustrated or angry or even sad, just by sitting down and taking 5 minutes for yourself and inhaling in 5 counts, holding it for 3, and exhaling in 5 counts, and repeating that I do it for at least 4 to 5 minutes, you get to feel the impact of your nervous system calming down and your heartbeat calming down and just your overall well-being. You start feeling better. It's beautiful and it's a very easy thing to do. You can also take breathwork classes if you want to, and workshops. We're actually writing a guide on this and it's going to be on our website soon. But that for me has been one of the most magical ways of connecting with my emotions and with my thoughts. Breathwork.
Caffeine is a tricky one because there are studies that say that the chlorogenic acid, the ferulic acid, and the caffeic acid can help reduce the inflammation of nerve cells that takes place in the brains of people with depression. I'm reading this from the Medical News Today website. On the other hand, I personally feel that coffee, if taking it in excess, will give us a very rapid high that will make us more active, energetic, even anxious. And when we have the coffee crash, it brings us down so much that it can bury us back in depression. So I would say be very cautious with consuming coffee, just the same way you would consume any other psychoactive plant. For example, cannabis. I use cannabis often as a means to meditate, usually towards the end of the day, a moment where I like to connect with myself, have deep conversations with my spirit, in many cases, journal, whether it is, you know, writing poetry in my notes app or posting something on Instagram or, you know, even writing longer pieces that will eventually become guides or books, or just putting out all these feelings down on paper helps a lot to gain perspective on the different invasive ideas that may be bouncing throughout your head and heart during a moment of depression. Microdosing, you know, psilocybe mushrooms have been proving over and over, as more and more experiments are being conducted on these wonderful beings, that magic mushrooms can help cure depressions that are resistant to traditional antidepressants and other prescriptions. So that's definitely something that people may want to consider, especially if they've been dealing with the situation for many years. The best thing would be that a depression lasts only a few days, but Unfortunately, sometimes they become a long-term problem that can last weeks, months, and even years. That's why you should keep exploring. You know, some things work for some people, others don't. Whether it is a slow process towards healing or a very drastic event like a life-changing moment, say psychedelics or an ayahuasca experience, something along those lines. But it all depends on where you are. And now that I'm saying ayahuasca, I just want to make a little parenthesis here, a little bracket, because if you're taking antidepressants, psychedelics do not go well and can even be fatal. So talk to your doctor before thinking of going into a deeper psychedelic experience. We discussed that in a different episode. Go check it out on Casa Earth Season 1. Here we want to give you the more holistic approaches. Healthy eating, exercise, good sleep, little to no alcohol, moderate consumption of entheogens, meditation, breathing,
yoga,
praying, gratitude, yes, is gratitude. Amazing. Just seeing each day as a new opportunity to experience this reality can make us feel special. You know, I think when Valeria was saying that it's not normal to feel this way, it's not ideal to feel this way. What's normal is always debatable. And of course, you know, the person who was trying to help Valeria had their own different perspective. And the ideal would be to have a more positive outlook on life. Sometimes depression creeps in, but gratitude, in my personal experience, seems to be one of those tools that brings us back into the world and helps us appreciate even the smallest of details.
Completely agree with that. And for those that are probably maybe new to our podcast, we did two episodes, like Santiago mentioned, one on microdosing. If you have questions, you can go to that one in Season 1, and the other one about ayahuasca. So we mentioned our experiences with microdosing for depression and also our ayahuasca ceremony and how that impacted our way of living and our way of connecting with nature, which is also crucial for mental health. So you can go check those out. Lastly, I think we want to recommend some platforms and books that have helped us a lot. But one more thing that I want to share with you, and this is a question that I get a lot on my social media too, is this. Everyone can get affected by depression. Mental health is a topic that we should talk more about. This has nothing to do with status or privilege or your bank account or your last name. Depression affects everyone. We sometimes get comments from people that follow us saying, how can you be depressed if you live in such a beautiful home? How can you be depressed if you're surrounded by nature? And again, we do not control it. And sometimes it just takes over your mind and your body, and you honestly don't know where it's coming from. And that has been our struggle, my personal struggle, to find the root of it. Sometimes it's a job, a career, like I mentioned, my first depression. The other times is a uterine myoma, like I'm experiencing right now. And sometimes it's just a disconnection from your passions, your purpose. You lost someone, like Santiago mentioned. So it's honestly above us. It's something that happens to you in moments that you really don't expect it. So I urge you guys to have a very open mind when it comes to mental health, to create space for other people to come to you and to be able to talk about it freely without feeling judged, and to listen to them. Don't try to tell them what to do. Just create the space where they feel free enough and listened enough and respected enough to share their pain and to share their thoughts or insecurities or even their fears.
Another great way of approaching your recovery process is by going through therapy. Having this support system within friends and family is great, but of course, they're not experts and they will only give you their perspectives on how they assume a certain situation would best be dealt with. On the other hand, professionals like psychologist or psychiatrist or therapist of cognitive training, behavioral training, therapist of other therapies, whether they're spiritual therapies or cognitive behavioral therapy, can be very helpful. These are very educated professional people that are looking for certain patterns and will not judge you based on what you're telling them, but will help you understand what is that original cause that needs to be treated. We used a therapist we found on Instagram and turned out to be amazing. We recommend it often.
Our entire families have gone to her.
Some members of our families. Alejandra, her handle is El Divan Rojo.
I think her therapies are only in Spanish, though.
Most likely are only in Spanish, but assuming that these digital platforms allow for a plethora of therapists to announce their services, we can assure you that there will be Instagram therapists that can do Zoom calls or Google Hangout calls or video calls to discuss your concerns, your issues, your situations with you. So definitely give that a try. They come in many different ways. Some are personal one-to-one sessions. There are also group sessions. Men's circles are becoming more popular and provide a space for men to open up their hearts and share their emotions. But besides going to therapy, you can also do this work by reading a lot, by investigating and educating yourselves. I love the books that were written by Ram Dass and Alan Watts, two great psychonauts, philosophers, spiritual leaders who help us rethink the difficulties of life and see them through a more eternal lens that gives us, again, a different perspective on what we're dealing with. They also have YouTube videos and Spotify, Pandora, whatever you use to listen music. They have their different lectures available for free. Check those out. Ram Dass, Alan Watts on Instagram, El Divan Rojo. Apunte Mental, if you speak Spanish. And in English, The Mental Health Coalition. What books would you recommend, my lady?
There are three books that had a very powerful and beautiful impact in my life. The first one, I read it last year, and it's called It Didn't Start With You by Mark Wolin. And it talks about generational trauma and how genetically proven you get to inherit these patterns, these emotional patterns from your family members. And they go on from generations to generations until one person in that family decides to heal it and put a stop to it. And that book opened my mind to a world that I already knew because I've taken family constellations in the past. I've been working on this for the past 7 years, 7, 8 years. But this book just put it so clearly out there. Like, it made it so easy for me to understand while also showing scientific research that this is what happens, which made it even more wonderful for me to understand that there are some emotions that just don't belong to me, that have nothing to do with me. And the only thing that I can do is heal them, but understanding that they come from my family or it's pain that doesn't really belong to me. So I recommend that book a lot because it also mentions depression. Another one is Becoming Supernatural by Joe Dispenza. This one talks about the power of the mind and any physical aches or diseases that your body waves like a flag, because I honestly think every disease and ache is a red flag. And what Joe Dispenza talks about is the power of meditation. So if you want to learn about meditation, I honestly recommend this book a lot. I read it a couple years ago, and it played a big role in the way I learned to connect with my mind and my body and depression. And the last one that I'm currently reading halfway through and I loved is Your Body Speaks Your Mind by Deb Shapiro. And it's, again, this relationship of our thoughts, especially our thoughts and our emotions, with our bodies. So any disease or any ache that you have is a reflection of your mind. And that is something that I've been paying a lot of attention to right now because, again, of this diagnosis of the myoma and trying to understand what could have triggered it more than just saying it's genetic. I honestly want to understand how to reverse it so it doesn't happen again. And I'm choosing the holistic route to be able to heal my body in my own way and through my thoughts and prevent any future diseases. So that's a book that dives deep into this realm of connecting with your body to such a deep level and connecting with your mind to such a deep level that you get to heal yourself. You become kind of like your own doctor, and it's beautiful. So those are three books that I definitely recommend for everyone.
Look, here's the thing. We all go through downs, and coping with them is an essential part of overcoming them. The longer we keep them to ourselves, the more they're going to haunt us. So perhaps take this episode as a reason to go out there and explore changing your lifestyle, exercising more, connecting with people, and enjoying nature. We all have depression, and the good news is we can all get out of it.
Don't be afraid to talk about it, and don't be afraid to listen to others talking about their depression. I think the more we normalize these conversations, the faster and closer we are to finding a natural way of healing them. And I think that's it for now, guys. We're so excited to share our thoughts and experiences with you once again and for the next episode.
Be happy, be free. See you in the next episode of Casa Earth.
Sending you the tightest hug all the way from Mexico.
Bye.